This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we're going to get an update on COVID outbreaks among garment workers in Los Angeles. Many workers are making PPE, but they say they still lack basic protections. According to the Los Angeles Times, 300 garment workers at the Los Angeles apparel factory have tested positive. Officials say it's the worst outbreak of any business in the country. We'll also get an update on California SB 1399, the Garment Worker Protection Act. It would guarantee garment workers the state's minimum wage. More than 45,000 people, mostly immigrant women, work 10 to 12 hours a day and make as little as $150 every week. California's Assembly Labor Committee is voting on the bill today. We're joined by Marissa Nuncio, director of the Garment Worker Center in Los Angeles. Hi, Marissa. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again. Unfortunately, since we last had you on, we learned that there was a huge outbreak of over 300 garment workers at the Los Angeles apparel factory. According to a recent piece in the LA Times, workers began disappearing over months, and by June, four employees had died. Officials are saying this is the worst outbreak of any business in the country. Can you give us an update on this?
Yeah, it's a really tragic case, and not something that we're happy to see in the industry that we work in at all. And unfortunately for us and for workers, though, it was not a surprise. We knew that we would see outbreaks in this industry, just given how bad the conditions have always been. Just this week, the Department of Public Health did allow the company to reopen. They run three factories in and around downtown LA. Our understanding is that they, have to have been given guidelines and protocols that they have to follow under health officer orders. And, our hope is that they do follow those to prevent a future outbreak and to prevent future deaths. We are continuing to talk to workers and make ourselves available to any workers who want to reach out to us to help them understand what the health officer orders are and, to help them, sort of monitor compliance as workers in their factory. It's just a really prime example of how dangerous this industry can be. It's something that we're monitoring very closely.
And again, Marissa, we talked about this the last time you were on the show. This really speaks to the failure of governments to implement regulations in these factories. Barbara Furr, director of the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, was on NPR yesterday, and she said, quote, "I think the garment factory was a good example of people not following our directives. We found cardboard partitions with holes in them so that the piecework could get passed easily from one station to the other." She said that's not the intent of having a physical barrier. Cardboard does not work as effectively as heavy plastic barriers. So are there strict rules in place that these factories have to implement?
Yeah, there are. There's sort of industry-specific guidelines that the Department of Public Health puts out that they have to follow. And, I think that's a good thing. I think there is still a lot of work, however, to be done to make that information easily digestible, to give examples to employers, to really support employers to understand this. I'm not at all excusing LA Apparel. I think they absolutely were not following orders, and even thwarting, the efforts of the Department of Public Health. So I'm not excusing them, but we do know from just the industry in general that, there's a lot of small businesses in this industry. There's a lot of sort of moving parts and clear protocol, clear examples, and including workers in that education outreach is extremely important. It's, and making training materials, education materials, information on where to report. That's just as essential as informing employers of their obligations. Workers are able to monitor their workplace. They're able, if they know what's required, they're the ones on the ground who can look around and say, something's not right, this, and this is where I should report it. But we still have a real gap in reaching workers. We have language access issues, and materials are much more available online than they are sort of out in the public, out in the community. It's not enough to have a poster at a work site. We really, you know, need to see a lot more robust kind of, you know, PSAs and just kind of promotion of this information out in the community, at bus stops, at, you know, billboards, things of that nature, I think, to really reach workers. And, you know, they have to be in materials that are accessible by language. They're monolingual Spanish speakers in the garment industry, and they're indigenous workers who speak a variety of languages from Mexico and Central America. And so we've been talking to the Department of Health about that. And we're also supporting something called public health councils. This would be worker-created, worker-led public health councils. We're supporting a motion at the county level that would mandate employers to allow workers to create these councils so that they have an actual protected space within their workplace to monitor compliance with public health orders, and then, you know, work with their employer with their problems and report noncompliance.
You know, I have to say, Marissa, it's kind of, I don't know, it's shocking to me that we're still having these basic conversations at the end of July, when so many other countries have really gotten a handle on COVID, and we're still talking about people who are not being protected at the very basic level. Do garment workers at least now have access to, you know, basic protections like masks, for example?
No. By and large, in the garment industry, no. It's business as usual. These were sweatshops prior to COVID, and they continue to be sweatshops. And so what workers are telling us is that, you know, they bring their own masks, but there's not necessarily a requirement by their boss or manager that workers have to keep them on during the day, or they're not necessarily provided those masks by their employer, even if they may be making masks, you know, as their job. Workers are telling us that, you know, most factories are not facilitating and maintaining social distancing. They're not providing hand soap in the bathrooms or sanitizer. They're not disinfecting equipment at all, and, you know, in between users. And they're not providing paid sick leave. And so workers are having to juggle and make difficult decisions about, you know, taking time off to get tested, about whether symptoms they may be feeling and, you know, are COVID and they think they should stay home, but yet they won't earn an income. And workers who are earning an average of $6 an hour, that's a huge loss. Workers, you know, are just having to juggle the decision of, do I put food on the table or do I go in, you know, feeling symptoms.
We're almost out of time, but I also want to ask you, the New York Times reported this morning that more than 150,000 people have now died in the United States from the coronavirus. Daily death counts are rising in 24 states and Puerto Rico. And I really, the numbers are tragic, but everybody has a story. Just quickly, is there anything you'd like to tell us about one of the garment workers who sadly passed away?
You know, it's just a horrible story, and it breaks my heart that this industry is one, now has the biggest outbreak in the country. It's all a representative of, you know, it's just all emblematic of our government not taking care of its people, not prioritizing, you know, people's health and life over profit. We don't know. The workers that passed were not our members. We are trying to reach out and find the families so that we can offer any support that we can. It's a horrible example of how workers' lives are just dismissed. Their lives and their health are just disregarded for profit.
And we should mention that Latinos are disproportionately impacted by COVID. Latinos in LA County are twice as likely than whites to contract the virus. In our final minutes, Marissa, can you give us an update on SB 1399? This is the Garment Worker Protection Act. It would guarantee garment workers California's minimum wage. We've had you on many times, and we learned that most workers, they work 10 to 12 hours a day, and they make as little as $150 a week. So the California Assembly Labor Committee is voting on the bill today. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, we're really excited about that. This is a bill that's sort of halfway through its legislative process. We successfully passed through the Senate this spring, and now we're heading into our first hearing in the Assembly today. We're very pumped. We're very excited. We've been building a ton of momentum and support for this bill. We have support from, this is a worker-led bill. So, we have a committee of workers behind this bill. We have a lot of public support. We have business support. We're just really, really excited. We're very hopeful about today's hearing. After today, when we get through, which we feel confident and hopeful that we will, our next stop is another hearing at an appropriations committee. If we're successful there, we go to the full floor. So again, we're still, in the middle of our campaign, and it's just been a really fun campaign, but also just a really urgent and important one. We think that, our two main points in this bill are to eliminate the piece rate system, so the archaic, just really exploitative payment system where workers are earning their living pennies at a time, 2 cents an operation, 3 cents an operation, and where the minimum wage is always out of reach, and where we're trying to hold fashion brands accountable, just like anybody else, just like the factory boss, and others along the supply chain, accountable for unpaid wages. We think that these two provisions can really get to the heart of wage theft in this industry and are just urgent. And they're urgent right now in this moment when, workers are making decisions, based on so few options for a good living. They're making decisions to go to a factory like LA Apparel that does pay better, but where the risks were so high, because there's so few places in Los Angeles that pay the minimum wage. We think that eliminating the piece rate will eliminate, it's a real health, it's a barrier to good health and safety in the workplace, the piece rate, because workers are disincentivized from taking time to disinfect their own equipment. They're disincentivized from washing hands frequently as is required, and they can actually be reprimanded and retaliated against for doing so. We need to eliminate that payment system, and we need fashion brands wholly and fully accountable for wages and working conditions in the factories they use to produce their garments and to profit off of. It will help the situation right now under the pandemic for workers. It will bring justice for workers, and it offers long-term solutions for this industry. We are out here with this bill to transform the garment industry. It is an inhumane, unjust industry that, as you said earlier, just should not be the case. It should not exist in this way at all in 2020. So that's what workers are out there fighting for.
Well, Marissa, as always, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for joining us. We will be following the bill closely, and we would love to have you back with updates.
I really appreciate you having us on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Marissa Nuncio is director of the Garment Worker Center in LA. They are working to eliminate sweatshop labor. And again, this is California bill, Senate Bill 1399. It would guarantee garment workers the state's minimum wage. More than 45,000 people, mostly immigrant women, work 10 to 12 hours a day and make as little as $150 a week. And this is in the state of California. California's Assembly Labor Committee is voting on the bill today. And we will definitely stay keep you updated on that. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance and Damian Miner for keeping our studio running. And I hope you can join us for tomorrow's show about the legalities around police brutality. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.